second Sunday of Advent, and today we light the second candle of the Advent wreath, which is the Bethlehem candle. Would you join with me in our responsive reading? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Today's scripture reading comes from Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him."
And now, Father, I pray that you will open the truth of your word to us, and may we be receptive vessels to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen. I was born in Rockingham, North Carolina. Rockingham was a pretty progressive place as far as I was concerned. We had a stoplight. We had a post office. We had a police station. In Rockingham, you could choose between Shell and Exxon. We had an elementary school and a separate junior high school, which is what we called it, and a separate high school. Everything up to date in Rockingham. They'd gone about as far as they could go. They went and built a skyscraper, 2 stories high, about as high as a building ought to go. Everything was up to date in Rockingham. It was better than a magic lantern show. They got themselves a theater they called a movie house. For 10 cents, you could see a dandy show. Rockingham High School had a football team. We had our own uniforms and our own marching band. And our rival team was the town that was just 5 miles away. And believe it or not, the name of that town was Hamlet. poor, pitiful hamlet. They didn't have a stoplight. Now, they did have a freight train that went through right the middle of the town every day, and they had two blinking red lights. Sometimes I would go over to Hamlet and watch those lights for my entertainment. Nothing was up to date in little Hamlet. They hadn't gone as far as they could go. They hadn't built a skyscraper two stories high. One story was about as high as they could grow. Nothing was up to date in little Hamlet. They hadn't gone as far as they could go. They did have one theater. They called a drive-in. For 15 cents, you could see a double show. If Rockingham represents Jerusalem, Hamlet represents Bethlehem, 5 miles apart. I don't know of any prophet that ever said, "But you, Hamlet, though you are small among the clans of North Carolina, out of you will come from me one who will be a ruler." But one prophet did say that about a little dump of a town that was 5 miles away from Jerusalem. Yes, in Jerusalem, they'd gone about as far as they could go. But just 5 miles south, poor little pitiful Bethlehem. When Micah wrote that something good was going to come out of Bethlehem, it was about 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now put that in perspective today. This is 2011. That would be like someone in the year 1311 saying that something good was going to come out of Hamlet. If they had, who would remember? Who would care? Now, the prophet Micah was not talking about Jacob's wife and the mother of Joseph. That would be Rachel. That would be Rachel. And Rachel lived in Bethlehem, and her tomb is there today. And as you enter into the little town of Bethlehem, the entrance to the town, you will see her tomb. Micah was not talking about a little shepherd boy who was born there and was a great songwriter. His name was David, and he later was coronated there. He was not talking about the great-grandmother of David named Ruth, who lived with Naomi in Bethlehem. Micah was talking about somebody else, something else, something mysterious and wonderful. Micah was, along with a lot of the other prophets, talking about a Messiah who is going to come out of this little dump called Bethlehem. His prophecy was lost for generations upon generations until two or three or four, who knows how many, Easterners came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him." Now, those Easterners were impressive guys, so impressive that the king invited them to his house, and they gave him indigestion. You see, these guys were asking, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" King Herod was a great leader. King Herod was a great conqueror. King Herod was a masterful architect and builder of incredible buildings and monuments. And if you go with me to the Holy Land, I will show you them. Makes Rockingham look sad. Herod was the big cheese, and as far as Herod was concerned, there was no room for another king. He had the Jews under control. He didn't want any competition. And as far as he was concerned, something had to happen with his entire prophecy. "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" they ask. And Matthew writes, "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." Why all Jerusalem? Well, simply this: when Herod wasn't happy, Nobody was happy. Herod was a jealous, selfish, egocentric guy who had tantrums that were severe to the point that he was known to kill members of his own family if they got in his way. He was cunning. He was subtle. He was a diplomat. He was an opportunist. But when he was upset, he was dangerous. And everybody knew it. When Herod had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" They didn't know. So they Googled it. And they discovered that the Hebrew scriptures said, from the prophets, something 700 years earlier. And I can see them now raising their hands. Oh, I know, pick me. Bethlehem, it says right here in the Hebrew scriptures, it's going to happen in Bethlehem of Judea. For this is what the prophet has written, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." So Herod had his answer. Question, what were these Easterners looking for? Answer, a great ruler. Why? Because they were astrologers, and they liked to look for signs in the zodiac and so forth. And they had seen an unusual light in the sky, and we don't know if it was an alignment of planets or if it was one star or what it might have been, but they became very excited in following this light in the sky to see where it would lead them and to whom it would lead them and where did it lead them. And note this carefully, it did not lead them to Bethlehem. It led them to Jerusalem and to the arch enemy of Jesus, the mad, cunning, jealous, egocentric King Herod. Astrology will not lead you to God. It is God's word that will lead you to God. Astrology will lead you to God's enemy, the devil, Satan, an abomination to God, astrology. Herod then called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem. You know, in the original language, the name of Bethlehem and the name of any town is feminine. But Micah used a masculine form of the name of the town Bethlehem. Another way of God saying to us that this is going to be something profound. The Messiah. Now, why were Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem at this time? They lived in Nazareth. But a census had been called, and everyone had to go back to the place where the husband was born to be counted. If that were today, and if I were Joseph, Elizabeth would have to get on a donkey and go to Rockingham. Can you ladies who have ever given birth imagine getting on a donkey and riding that donkey for days in the winter, possibly, over mountainous terrain? When you're 9 months pregnant, can you imagine? I have a feeling I know what Elizabeth would have told me to do with that idea about going to Rockingham if we had had a choice. Rockingham can wait, Buster. I can hear it right now. But Joseph and Mary didn't have a choice. It was a law. They had to go to Bethlehem where Joseph was from, and they had to go now. Didn't matter that she was pregnant. Think about it. What if Caesar Augustus had not called for a census at that particular time? Well, Mary would have given birth in Nazareth instead of in Bethlehem, and the prophecy would not have been fulfilled. God's timing is perfect. in the fullness of time, God inspired and put into the heart of Caesar Augustus to call for that census at just the right time so that Joseph and Mary would have to be exactly where Micah said they would be 700 years before it happened. If God can do that, brothers and sisters, he can adjust your schedule to have you be exactly where he wants you to be when he wants you to be. He's got the whole world in his hands, including our calendars. And you know what is so wonderful about that? He had that fixed before he said, "Let there be light." Wonderful. He knows the days that are planned for you. In Bethlehem, a shepherd boy by the name of David wrote about that when he said, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Psalm 139, one of my favorite Psalms, 139. And by the way, those words that David wrote are not just for David. They're for Donna, for Linda, for John, for Judy, for Elizabeth, for Harry, for Andy. They're for us. Bethlehem. Now, the Arabic translation of the town Bethlehem is house of meat. The Hebrew translation of the town Bethlehem is house of bread. And the one who was born there said, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 6. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry, and who believes in me will never be thirsty." Do you hunger for God? Do you thirst for God? If you're hungry for God, the bread of life is right there for you right now, right in front of you, right beside you, above you, beneath you, within you. The bread of life is there. Receive him. Accept him. Feed on him. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me in thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more." The innkeeper. Oh, the innkeeper. I can hear him saying in 2011, "Oy vey, if only I had known." Have you ever said that? God tries to get messages to us all the time. Sometimes we're just too busy gazing at our own navels to hear the message. "Oy vey, if only I had known, God, oy vey." I don't like it when my doorbell rings and I go to the door and there's one or two strangers standing there. My first thought is, are these people safe? My second thought is, which cult is this? My third thought is, what are they selling? My fourth thought is, how can I get rid of these people without looking rude? And I have all those thoughts at exactly the same moment. I wonder what the innkeeper in Bethlehem thought. I am so tired of hearing that knock on the door. I don't have any room here. I just want to have my dinner. Go away. Or, boy, I wish I had added on to this house last year like I thought about. Just think all the money I could be making now if I had more rooms. Or, what kind of a husband would put his wife on a donkey 9 months pregnant? Whatever thought he had pity on the couple, and he sent them to the stable. The stable was a cave. Bethlehem has lots of little hills and hundreds of little caves. And they use the caves for lots of different things. I'll show them to you when we go to the Holy Land together in the future. And one of the things they used them for was a stable. Jesus was born in a cave in Bethlehem. Life came in a cave about 5 miles north. About 33 years later, death came in a cave. Praise God, that cave is empty. Those two caves, Bethlehem and Jerusalem, brought us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, through the birth, the death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. 40 years before Jesus was born, Herod had a great building made for him. I'll call it a building, but it's really not. He had a great structure, huge fortress built for him just outside of Bethlehem. It's a cone-shaped hill, very high. It's a man-made mountain with a winding path around it. It's called the Herodium. And you go up this winding path until you get to the top of this very high man-made cone-shaped mountain looking like a volcano. And you peer into this cone and your jaw drops when you see what's there. The magnificent architect, the magnificent builder who built what's inside that volcano-looking fortress. It was his burial place. It's where Herod is buried. It's not unlike a pyramid of the pharaohs in Egypt. Today, thousands, tens of thousands of people go to Bethlehem, but hardly anyone ever goes to the Herodium. They go to that little cave under the Church of the Nativity where Jesus Christ was born. For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Let's pray. Oh, Father God in heaven, I thank you for reminding us that out of something small, you can bring something huge. From a stable cave in Bethlehem to a family cave in Nazareth to a burial cave in Jerusalem and now to our hearts, Lord Jesus, you have done something huge, huge. Thank you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. Brothers and sisters, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. God bless you. Amen.